the 30th of October, before the outbreak of World War II, will be remembered as that extraordinary night when the submerged anxieties of tens of thousands of Americans surfaced and coalesced into a flood of terror that swept the country between 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and dawn of the next day. Men, women, and children in scores of towns and cities across the nation were in flight from objects that had no existence except in their imaginations. That is the opening paragraph of Howard Koch's book, The Panic Broadcast. Howard was the writer of tonight's performance that you're going to hear. Now, let me read you the back of his book. It says, on October 30th, 1938, the planet Earth was invaded by men from Mars. On that unforgettable night, Orson Welles and his fellow actors broadcast a radio dramatization of H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds. The show lasted 45 minutes. The story of the nationwide panic that followed reads like science fiction. Thousands fled their homes in panic. Highways were jammed. One woman in Pennsylvania tried to poison herself. How could so many have been so prepared to be terrorized? Howard Koch, the man who wrote the radio play, has compiled the story of the broadcast itself and the panic that followed, and offers a fascinating examination of one of the most extraordinary phenomena in history. His book is called, like I said, The Panic Broadcast, The Whole Story of the Night the Martians Landed, Orson Welles' Legendary Radio Show, Invasion from Mars. It has a foreword by Arthur C. Clarke. It's a pretty good little book. The whole middle section is the script, the original script, so there's not much to the book. A few chapters in front and a few chapters after the actual script. But I believe this is one of those that you can get on Amazon for like a penny, and then you pay the $3.99 shipping or whatever and get it sent to you. I picked it up at Powell's Books down in Oregon, and have really, really enjoyed it. It's a good read. Anyway, well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to a completely unique listening experience. I don't know if this has ever been presented quite this way before. 5 years ago, I presented a version of War of the Worlds that was unique. And I'd found it that someone had done this, what I'm about ready to do. But I don't think they did it quite like this. I can't remember exactly how they did it. So I would give them credit if I remember who they were. Anyway, I don't. So, I've created this myself. This is, like I say, completely unique. I was thinking about how I could present two different shows to you at the same time. Because, you see, War of the Worlds is the most famous radio show of all time. But I also want to bring you the most popular radio show of 1938. And some of you are realizing, well, that's two different things. And it is. Mercury Theater on the Air was not very popular at this point. War of the Worlds, of course, would make it world famous. But that wouldn't happen until tomorrow. But what we're going to have tonight is I decided I would try and recreate as close as I could what it would be like if you were in 1938, and if you were listening to the radio that evening. Now, I can't broadcast this on two separate channels of the radio station for you, right? But I thought the closest I could come would be to present a stereo presentation, which I usually present mono, if you don't know. But this will be completely stereo. So, if you do not have a stereo way of listening to this in stereo, make sure you're listening to the mono version. It'll be similar, but I don't think you'll get the full effect that you would from the stereo version. So, and both versions will be available tonight. So, just kind of look at them and you can tell which one's stereo. I've labeled them which one's stereo and which one's mono. If you don't know, just keep listening. If you have the stereo one, it'll sound like complete gibberish to you in a few moments. And when that happens, you'll go, I probably should switch over to the mono version or get on something where I can control my speakers. So here's how I decided to do this. I was thinking, the only thing, because on the radio, the people used to be able to change the dial, and you'd switch, of course, from one radio station to another radio station by flipping the dial. Well, we're going to simulate that by having you be able to change from your left speaker to the right speaker. On your left speaker is going to be Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. On your right speaker is going to be the Chase and Sanborn Hour with Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen, the most popular radio show of 1938, the one that most of the country would be listening to at this point in time. They were both presented at the exact same time on two different channels on the radio back in 1938. And so one of the things that led to folks panicking, I think one of the largest things anyway that led to folks panicking, was that they would listen to the beginning of the Edgar Bergen show. And you'll hear the introduction, Edgar Bergen, so I'd be listening to the right channel first, which is the Edgar Bergen channel, and listen to that show start up, and listen to the first bit. It's kind of funny, and it's all about Halloween and everything. It's great. And then when it ends, that first bit, about 12 minutes into the program or so, their singer will come on and sing a song. And it's not the best song. So I would think that during the song, some folks would go, let's see what's on the other channel. And they'd be flipping, and we would flip, you would flip over to your left-hand channel. And that will bring up the volume for War of the Worlds. And then you can see what it would be like, all of a sudden tuning into War of the Worlds, about 12, 13, 14 minutes in, and see what it's like. Because then you won't hear the warnings about the fact that it's just a radio play. You'll just all of a sudden jump into the middle of the most horrific part, really, of War of the Worlds. So I would suggest you try that. For those of you listening on mono, I will force this to happen. You're going to listen to, I've cut off the first 12 minutes of War of the Worlds. I know, sacrilege. No! But it's okay. For our experiment, we're going to do that. And I've put in the first 12 minutes or so. I'll find a good break. I haven't actually done this yet, but I will get it set up. So it will start. You'll hear Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. And then right about the point that the song comes on, I'll give it a few bars probably, and so that it would be like a normal listener, and we'll flip over to War of the Worlds at that point, just a hard flip because it's mono, so we're all going. And then you'll hear, pick up the War of the Worlds from there on, thinking that chances are, because the people are freaking out, that they wouldn't be switching back and forth, they'd probably stay on War of the Worlds. Now, you folks in stereo can flip back and forth to your heart's content to compare the two shows and see what it would be like if somebody tuned in later or earlier. You can create your own little experiment, and you can flip back and forth. Now, so I think that's one major reason. I think people were listening to the number one radio show in the country, not just for the night. I mean, this was the top-rated show. In fact, it was more than a top-rated show. It was a top-rated show, and at the peak of its of people tuning in. So it was like the I Love Lucy show when it was the ultimate hit, or Amos and Andy when it was the top show. I mean, everybody listened to the Chase and Sanborn Hour with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. So I do think a lot of folks listened in, flipped over, panicked. That's one of the reasons the panic happened. The other reason the panic happened I believe, is because the writer decided to use, he was writing the script, and he decided, instead of making up a bunch of places, it'd be more realistic if he used an actual hamlet that he found, and in the real world. And so he used a town in New Jersey. And, of course, when he used this town, people would hear the name of real places, and it would progress, and he would have the Martians coming in and going to these different places. And so if you lived there, and you heard the name of all these places that you know, for instance, I'm in the Northwest, so if I heard, tuning in the radio, and I heard that Tacoma was being invaded, and that Seattle had been taken over, and then I heard them, they were coming across the bridge to Gig Harbor, where I live, it would have more impact on me, and I would maybe start to freak out a little bit. And I think that's one of the reasons people freaked out. I guess I was thinking about, how can I make folks understand how they would freak out and how they would believe the radio? Because you wouldn't, these days, people would probably wouldn't believe when something like this is happening. But let's take something that is as trusted as radio was in the day, and radio news was in the day back in 1938. I was noticing the other night, we were having a bunch of folks over to my house, and all of a sudden, everybody's phones went crazy. And it was, of course, an Amber Alert. And Amber Alerts are, of course, when a child is lost or taken, and they're trying to find whoever took them quickly, so they have what's called an Amber Alert. I think it's named after that because I believe the girl was Amber that they didn't find fast enough and things, and they thought if they could find kids faster, they could save more children that are abducted. And so they have this thing called the Amber Alert. Now, I guess, and of course when you hear it, you take it seriously. I mean, you know this is a serious thing. But if someone was to take over, hypothetically, the Amber Alert system, and I was to hear it, and they said, say, my daughter or something was, something had happened, even though I probably would know, you know, in my heart that she's probably okay, she's at school, and that's where I should check in on her, or whatever it is, but because it comes across the Amber Alert, and it's something we trust so much, it would raise your anxiety, you would think this is real, you would think, and in that same way, I believe, back in 1938, by having something come across the radio and say that it was, and portray itself as news bulletins, I think people would tend to believe that. Especially if you didn't catch the part of the show where it was saying that it was a play. Now, the other piece of it is people say, well, why wouldn't they change to other channels and things? I don't know. I can see you get fixated on that channel. The other piece I would think, if I lived in New Jersey where this was supposed to be happening, how many people would just listen for, say, 10 minutes and then be freaked out so much that they run out of their house to try and get away, or they try and find the creatures or whatever they decide to do. And so they're not, at that point, listen to the radio anymore. They're out and in action. So you could visualize how it could panic a huge amount of people. And, of course, that's how the radio show is so famous, for panicking so many people. So try and recreate that for yourself tonight by listening to the stereo broadcast and going back and forth. If you don't pan the speakers, you will get gibberish. I mean, you will hear junk out of the right and junk out of the left that don't make any sense together. So you have to pan left, pan right. And if you don't like doing that, listen to the mono version. And then tomorrow night, I will present War of the Worlds in its entirety without me butchering it. And so you could just listen to it just straight through the normal way, for those of you who would like to hear it that way. But I just thought, why not present something a little bit different and see if folks enjoy this. So I hope you enjoy this presentation of War of the Worlds. For some of you in stereo, for some of you in mono, whichever way you like to listen to it. And share it with some of your friends. It should be a fun listen on this Halloween. So enjoy, and let's get started. So in a few seconds here, you're going to hear craziness out of the left and right speaker, just so you know. So be ready. Pan right to begin with, right? Ready, set, pan right. Bye.
The Columbia Broadcasting System, affiliated stations, presents Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air.
The makers of Chase's Fanborn Coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, is at the Chase's Fanborn Hour. And your host, John Beachy.
Rounding up the Chase and Sanborn gang and greeting you for all of them. A hearty hello from Nelson Eddy, Dorothy L'Amour, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Robert Ann Brewster, and Judy Canova with Annie and Zeke. We hope that you'll enjoy our show and that throughout the week you remain our friends as well as friends of Chase and Sanborn.
With a
howdy, Mr. Meachie.
Oh, hello, Judy. Is there anything I can do for you?
Say, you know, Mr. Meachie, I've been looking at that little McCarthy fella for 4 weeks now, and I'll be dogged if I can figure him out.
Yeah, well, don't try it, Judy. We all have the same trouble.
Perhaps
it sure is mystifying how them words comes bouncing across these wooden tonsils, ain't it?
It sure is.
Yeah, and you know I keep thinking of what folks down in Unadilla do if they see this.
Would they be amazed, Judy?
Amazed? Listen, Mr. Meachie, did you ever see a tree walking?
Spinning fragments of solar driftwood.
Like as not, they hang a sap bucket on to it.
What's going on here?
Oh, well, Charlie, Judy only meant
that. Yeah, I heard what she said. I heard.
Yet across an immense ethereal gulf.
I was only complimenting you. Why, you ain't got nothing against me, have you?
No, but I can very easily develop something.
Oh, now, listen here. Now, that's too bad, Charles M. You see, I was hoping that I and you could start a kind of get together like. No, I started to like you.
You know,
but
well,
sure do.
Bergen, get your gun.
Never mind, Charlie. I'm sure you'll feel better when you know that our guest tonight is one of our mutual friends honoring us with a return visit.
More
the lovely Madeline Carroll.
Oh, Madeline.
Thanks, Charlie, but we'll let Nelson Eddy do the singing. And it's the rousing, rip-roaring Song of the Vagabonds from the Vagabond King.
Come on, you beggars of Paris town, you lazy rabble of low degree.
You rabble of low degree.
You fair King Louis to keep his crown and save our city from Burgundy.
Our city from Burgundy.
You and I are good for nothing but to die. We can die for liberty. On the toil and danger will you serve a stranger and bow down to Burgundy. On the shame and sorrow will you cheer tomorrow for the crown of Burgundy. Onward, onward, swords against the foe. Forward, forward, the lily banner goes. On the France around us breaks the chain that bound us. And away with Burgundy.
Guns of fire and danger will you spare a stranger and bow down to Burgundy. Guns of shame and sorrow will you hear tomorrow for the crown of Burgundy. Forward, 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 forward
Rough and ready man of Canada, a big, brawny French-Canadian logger, the kind of fellow who skips nimbly from log to log as they float downstream to the mill. Sure-footed me, he prevents the dreaded jam, and yet he always seems to find time to wave with the girls on the shore. Nelson Eddy sings the Canadian logging song.
Down the rivage we float the logs, they make the ground afloat. On the logs we leap and laugh and say, upon the logs is on the run. There's a rock, watch out, mon frere, you maybe get a big sheep right there. The sun is shining on the shore, we see big salmon jump some more, some more. Down the rapid we hit them roar, now they flag it on the shore, hola!
Ladies and gentlemen, following on the new Gatineau Bulletin on the road,
lead along, they make their feet like herd of cows and on to lead. With log and pole, we have to lead to coax them out from log shanty.
Due to the unusual nature of this current,
we have run to the crowd of tricky women folks to the ream of the fence. We get a view of a seat to feel they be at
home.
We wave and they smile.
We turn you on till then.
All right,
music of Grandma Raquel and the Dorian.
The dance tonight, hola, hola, to those black eyes. We promise to be true. We dance the whole night through. Down the rivers we float the logs, we make the ground a pole. On the logs we leap and laugh, we sleep upon the logs, is on the raft. Hola, 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 hola.
We are ready now to take you to the Princeton Observatory at Princeton, where Carl Phillips, our commentator, will interview Professor Richard Pearson, famous astronomer. We take you now to Princeton, New Jersey.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Carl Phillips speaking to you from the Observatory at Princeton.
Oh,
I'm standing in a large, center-sectional room.
Haunting we will go.
Through this opening, I can see the prison stars will go. Glow over the intricate mechanism of new
color. Hey, Charlie, the word is haunting.
Picking sounds
well,
you hear.
Well, not on Halloween, is it?
Vibration of the clock.
Say,
what
are you going to do tomorrow, Charlie?
Stands directly above me on
Duck for apples, I guess. What else can a fellow do on a measly 75 cents a week?
Charlie, I wish you wouldn't take advantage of every opportunity to mention the allowance I give you.
No.
During this period,
it's embarrassing.
Yeah. I am ashamed of it too, Bergen.
May I be in our questions?
All you think of is money. Pleasure can be derived in many other ways.
Tell our radio audience exactly what you see.
Say it, George. You going to stay at the Halloween party for Charlie tomorrow night?
I certainly am not, Don. Oh, I haven't forgotten Charlie's party last year when he ruined the furniture and the carpet.
Yeah, and broke windows, too.
Yes, yes.
Quite distinct, now, but that part has to be at the point nearest the earth.
Four broken windows.
Five.
In your opinion,
I broke one after I took inventory.
Not canals, I can assure you.
Talk about laughs and the fun we had.
Although, as the popular conjecture of those who imagine Mars to be inhabited.
I can assure you there will be no repetition of last year's riot. That experiment was much too expensive.
Then,
no party this year?
No party.
Living intelligence as we know it does not exist on
Mars. Aren't you going to do anything for a little
On this
Halloween?
I don't know.
How do you account for these gas eruptions occurring on the surface of the planet?
I may tell you a ghost story.
Phillips, I cannot
account for it. By the way, Spencer, for the benefit of our listeners,
do you think you're going to afford it?
How far is Mars?
Say, Edgar, I like ghost stories. You know any good ones?
Well, I know one, Don.
If you don't mind if I join you, do you, Edgar? I like to listen to ghost stories.
Not at all, Mel.
Oh, Edgar, are you going to tell a ghost story?
I love them.
They frighten me to death.
Well, yeah,
you better sit close to me, Doc. Hold my hand.
Professor Pearson has passed me a message.
Well, this isn't really a ghost story.
Professor, may I read the message to the listening audience?
It's an actual experience.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can read you a wire.
They all
Professor Pearson from Dr. Gray of the Natural History Museum.
A friend of mine, by the name of Joe Franklin, purchased an 8-room house in Hoosier Falls, which is a small town in upper New York.
How far is that?
Earthquake intensity occurring within a radius of 20 miles
from
Princeton.
How far is it?
Please investigate.
Well, from where?
Signed, Lloyd Gray. This occurrence possibly has nothing to do with the disturbance.
Thank you,
anyway.
I still don't think it's the right answer.
Well, anyway, my friend, he bought this old house.
Say, how many rooms you say it had, Edgar?
Eight rooms.
How charming. Eight rooms?
Two-story?
No, it's a ghost story. As a matter of fact, Dorothy, it was a two-story house. But the upstairs quarters were never used because there was a rumor that they were haunted.
We are returning you now to our New York City.
I see. They were inhabited by ghosts.
Well, didn't Joe Huzik know that before he bought the place?
The name is Joe Franklin, and the house is in Huzik Falls.
Oh, I see. Well, you want to watch that, Edgar?
Ladies and gentlemen, here is the latest bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News. Toronto, Canada.
So,
Professor Morris of McMillan University
Huzik
was on observing a total of 3 explosions on the planet Mars between the hours
of 7:45
p.m.
and 9:20 p.m.
Eastern
Standard
Time.
It was an eight-story, two-room house.
This confirms earlier reports submitted from American Observatory.
We got him, boys.
And
we got
story him. Two-room
house.
What he
it
means is the main house, two-story room. No.
Believed to be a meteorite.
Did anybody live in it?
Farm in the neighborhood of Grover, New Jersey, 22
downstairs.
Miles from Trenton. The flash in the sky was visible
ghosts,
within
upstairs.
A radius of several hundred miles. And the noise of the impact was heard.
Now, wait a minute.
Visible.
Who lived in what?
We have dispatched a special mobile unit to the scene.
Lived
in
Connecticut. I don't know. What is this?
Give you a word picture of the
well,
scene.
Well, I don't
as
think
you
people want to hear this story at all. Of course,
in the meantime,
you don't, just say
we
so.
We take you to the Hotel Martinet in Brooklyn.
Of course we want to hear the story, don't we, Don?
Why, sure we do. Have you heard it before, Charlie?
Yeah, I hear it every Halloween. He does it. He brings it out.
Is it a good story?
Oh, come on, Edgar. Tell us the rest of the story. What was your friend's name?
Oh, well, let's forget his name, and let's forget he's my friend.
Oh, forgetting friends, huh? What's the matter? Did he write for money?
No. He did not write for money. Do you understand?
No,
he didn't. How?
We take you now to Grover's Mill.
No.
Oh, come on, Edgar. We'll behave. Tell us.
Very well. I shall make a final attempt, but I insist on absolute silence.
This is Carl Phillips again, out at the Wilmot Farm, Grover's Mill, New Jersey.
Stop whispering, please.
Professor Pearson and myself made the 11 miles from Princeton in 10
minutes. Is it all right if I breathe a little?
Now, this is a true story. But if at any time you question the veracity of my statement,
stop. Just got here. I haven't had a chance.
They sure will.
Look around, Jeff.
This incident took place about 8 years ago, at which time I was considered quite a handsome young man.
Stop!
All right.
Charlie, if you'll only keep quiet, you'll find that this story is very, very different.
Exciting, as it were.
Now, you keep quiet, Charlie. We want to hear this story.
Thank you, Don.
Okay, Edgar.
Well, I've never seen anything like that. Yellow is white.
So crazy. All right.
Now,
where was I?
You're right here.
Yes,
Don.
Picture, if you can,
would you mind standing
one side, please? With a foundation sagging roof.
Here's
Healing
Mr. Wall, the owner of the farm.
Can you picture it?
He may have
picture
some...
It? We live in it. In this house,
in your backyard,
there had formerly lived an old miser.
Ladies and gentlemen...
Do you know what a miser is?
Oh, sure. A miser is a man who fixed 75 cents a month.
Now, this miser had lived and died in one of the upstairs bedrooms,
and
he would believe that his ghost haunted him. And you know, Charlie, I was the first person brave enough to spend the night in that bedroom.
What did you hear?
Oh, sure.
Hissing sound like wood.
Nothing happened until midnight. Nothing ever. And then, out of the still of the night, I heard the old grandfather's cross in the hall strike the witching hour. Don, will you please stop?
When you hear the next cuckoo, it'll be exactly Burger.
Yeah. All right, enough of that.
Yes. Fellas, will you stop interrupting? You're being very rude.
Well, now, keep quiet.
Very unpleasant. And the least you can do...
All right, will you stop, too, Charlie?
Oh, me?
You're the worst one of all.
Is that so?
Oh, yeah. Shortly after midnight, I heard a peculiar noise, as if someone was tapping on the wall. Tapping on the wall. And I heard footsteps on the scene.
Some of the more daring shows now are adventuring near the edge.
Maybe you had a snoop. I was only trying to help.
Well, please don't.
There's something I haven't mentioned in
no,
this excitement.
Then suddenly, becoming the steps got closer and closer. And then, without warning, a horrible figure pounced upon me. Something tugged at my memory. Where had I seen that ghostly face before?
You hear it?
In a mirror?
No.
Come from inside the office. That settles it.
What?
I'm not going to finish this story.
Well, why not?
Well, I'm not going to make
now,
a fool of myself.
More than
You're right. I have made a fool of myself.
Well, it certainly took you old enough to get wise.
Sleeping noise.
A few years ago, a song about a couple of people who were very, very pious
not found
in the country.
On this earth.
Remember, let's go out the light and those things.
Tears holes in a
well, now another
one
has come along, and it looks like just as big a hit.
You can see
it's my only Carmichael, and it's called Simply
Ladies
Enough
and Gentlemen, this is terrific.
Dorothy L'Amour shows how it
end
goes,
of this thing
and
is
very
beginning to
too.
Flake off. The top is beginning to rotate like a screw, and this thing must be hollow.
Look at you and look at me, just two worlds
apart.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most terrifying thing I've ever witnessed. Wait a minute. Someone out of the hollow top.
You got a cigarette?
Someone or something.
Oh, honey, no.
Turning out of that black
See,
hole.
It's getting kind of cold, too, isn't it? Here we are.
Something looking out of the shadow like a great snake.
Holding hands and yawning. Look how late it is.
I see things body. Not large. Large as a bear. This is like wet leather.
And too much in love.
Say goodnight.
Here we are.
In a
cozy chair.
Taking
on a wishbone. From the prejudice,
monster, whatever it is, from how you move.
Sleepy people with nothing to say, and too much in love to break away. Do you remember the night we used to linger in the hall? Father didn't fly to Earth. Do you remember the reason why we married in the fall? To rent this little nest.
We are bringing
well,
you and I with
here
what's
we
happening
are. Just about the same. Foggy little fella, drowsy little day. Sleepy people by dawn's early light. And
we now return you
to
Carl Phillips and Grover Smith.
Don't we look a mess? Lipstick on your collar. Me in this old dress. Sleepy people who know very well they're too much in love to break
themselves.
We're crazy in the head. Gosh, your eyes are gorgeous, even when they're red. Sleepy people with nothing to say and too much in love to break away.
Strike them head on. Lord, it's ready to play.
The night we used to linger in the hall.
Father didn't
call you at all.
Coming this way now.
reason why we married in the fall, to rent this little nest.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast from Evidently, there's some difficulty in the transmission. However, we will return to that point at the earliest opportunity. In the meantime, we have a late bulletin from San Diego, California. Professor Inglesoff, speaking at the Center of the California Astronomical Society, expressed the opinion that the explosions on Mars are undoubtedly nothing more than severe volcanic explosions on the surface of the planet. We continue now with our piano
interview. I'm too much in love to say
Ladies and gentlemen, I've just been handed a message that came in from Grover's Mill by telephone. At least 40 people, including 6 state troopers, lie dead.
Some fun and excitement you want to hear about Charlie McCarthy's new radio game.
Their bodies burned.
Yes, you'll get laughs and thrills by the minute when you play Charlie's new radio game. Many of your friends and neighbors are already enjoying it. Whether you're 9 or 90, it will bring you hours of fun. The game includes 21 lifelike, full-color figures of your Chase and Sanborn radio friends. There are four figures each of Edgar Bergen, Nelson Eddy, Don Ameche, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster. But there's only one figure of impudent young Charlie McCarthy. And that's what causes the excitement. The play is controlled by a spinner, and every player tries to get Charlie. And here's how you get Charlie's radio game. Send us two dated bag fronts from Chase and Sanborn dated coffee, together with only 10 cents. You're sure to enjoy the fine, mellow flavor of dated coffee. For it's not only a superb blend of the world's choice coffees, but it's truly fresh.
You have just been listening to General Montgomery Smith.
Yes, dated coffee is delivered to your grocer by a fresh food delivery service from the oven nearest to his store. The date of delivery is plainly marked on every bag. And that date assures you of fragrant aroma, of rich, satisfying goodness, of freshly roasted coffee.
The combined
begin now to enjoy Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Send us two dated bag fronts and only 10 cents, and we'll mail you Charlie's absorbing new game right away.
But we hope to
address
be
Chase and Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue, 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City. Buy Chase and Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
That we have finally established communication with an eyewitness detective. Professor Pearson has been located at a farmhouse near Grover's Mill, where he has established an emergency observation post. As a scientist, he will give you his explanation of the calamity.
Our very finest, grade A, number one quality welcome goes to our special guest, the beauteous star of both British cinema and the American movie, Madeline Carroll. She has but recently returned from abroad to play the leading role in the Paramount picture, Cafe Society. Miss Carroll appears tonight in a play by one of her distinguished playwriting countrymen, John Van Druten. A play about an English girl and an American boy. Madeline Carroll in There's Always Juliet.
One of the minutes then I shall refer to the mysterious weapon as the heat ray. No too evident that these creatures have scientific knowledge.
It has been quite a day in the life of Leonora Perrycost. Until the middle of the afternoon, she had been just an ordinary English girl. But then at a party, she met Dwight Houston, an American architect, and her whole life changed. That evening, they went to dinner, the theater, and the nightclub. Now it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, and Dwight is bringing Leonora to her apartment.
Much as the mirror of a lighthouse effect of the speed of light.
Well, here we are. Gee, that was a great idea of yours to go to the... What was the name of that place?
Hoban Empire. I've still got that beastly old song in my head. I'm alone because I love you.
I love you with all my heart. Da-da-da,
now here's another bulletin from Washington, D.C.
To be true.
The office
sorry,
of the director
I
of the National Red Cross supports 10 units of Red Cross emergency workers have been assigned to the headquarters of the state.
Well, I'm glad to agree with you.
Stationed outside of Grover's Mill, New Jersey.
I say, won't I ever get that tune out of my head?
Well, let's try something else. It takes time to work.
Think of another song.
Well... It's got that tune.
All quiet in the bed.
Grand
there
evening.
Is no sign of life appearing from the mouth of the cylinder.
Leonora.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special statement from Mr. Harry McDonald.
Do you mind if I don't
McDonald,
call you Leonora?
Vice
it's my sister-in-law's name, and I can't bear my sister-in-law.
What would you like to call me?
The place at their disposal, our entire broadcasting facility.
Why?
In view of the gravity of the situation, and believing that radio has a responsibility to serve in the public interest at all times,
I think
we are turning over our facilities to the...
I'm a little in love with you, Steve.
so adorable.
We take you now to the field headquarters of the state militia near Grover's Mill, New Jersey.
Why?
We've known each other. What is it, 5 hours?
Well, that's long enough, surely.
To be in love?
Oh, I felt for you the minute I saw you. I was watching you from across the room long before I came and talked to you. Didn't you know?
I knew I wanted you to come and talk to me. Of unidentified
nature is now under complete control. What do we do now? I feel we should rush out and do something, something violent, knock down a cop or something. It's grand, isn't it?
Yes, daughter.
It's like spring.
Zowie.
Yeah, I feel a bit lighthearted myself. We'll see each other lots, won't we?
You'll be
leaving
me alone.
I'll let you talk about that, huh?
No.
Mind over matter. We'll have fun the way we have this evening. Let's see, what should we do tomorrow? Oh, let's go into the country. Can't we for the day?
I thought you were here on business. Haven't you appointment?
Well, I'll see a man a week from Thursday, but just for an hour in the morning.
That's what it is. Business all the time. Looks almost like a real war. All right, then. We'll take my car. Go down to Sussex. Somewhere on the dime.
Oh, I've heard of Sussex.
I should think so.
No, no. Hasn't it got a dialect? That's where they say Dumbledown, isn't it?
Well, that's Somerset.
These suburbs.
How do you know about Dumbledown?
Oh, me and Lily used to sing a song about it. Shall we drink ale? Oh, you don't know how disappointed I was the first time I came over here and found that ale in England was the same as beer in America. I'd always pictured ale as something... Oh, something terribly special, like sack or mead.
I know. Or posset.
What's a posset? Sounds like an animal.
Posset. It's a drink. It's sort of a nightcap, I think.
Oh, possets. That sounds silly, doesn't it? I tell you what, let's not have them, huh?
Ladies
and gentlemen, right. I have a grave announcement to make.
I know a little.
Incredible as it may seem, both the observations of science and the evidence of our eyes.
I'll call for you.
Lead to the inescapable assumption that those strange beings who landed in the Jersey
Lazy Rice, but I'll make an exception.
Are the vanguard of an invading army from the planet Mars?
I think you ought.
I never shall if you don't turn me out.
The battle which took place tonight at Grover Mills has ended in one of the most startling defeats ever suffered by an army in modern times.
Good night.
7,000 men armed with rifles and machine guns pitted against a single fighting machine of the invaders from Mars.
Would you?
120 known survivors.
Could we do it tonight?
The rest strewn over the battle area from Grover's Mills to Plainsboro.
Do you have to have an act of parliament?
Crushed and trampled to death under the metal feet of the monster.
Wouldn't you?
Or burned to cinders by
Steve,
a heat ray.
It isn't much to ask.
I couldn't.
The monster is now in control of the middle section of New Jersey and has effectively cut the state through its center.
Terribly.
Communication lines are down from Pennsylvania to the Atlantic Ocean.
But I've got some sense.
Well, what sense got to do with it?
Torn and service from New York to Philadelphia discontinued except...
I've only known you 5 hours. I can't get married like this. I don't know a thing
highways
about
the
you,
north, south, and west are clogged with frantic human traffic.
I like you.
Police and honor reserve are unable to control.
No, but be sensible.
Oh, how cute.
I'm warning the fugitives will have swelled Philadelphia, Camden, and Trenton. It is estimated to be quite the normal population.
I don't know. Just imagine the scene with mother and father.
Eastern Pennsylvania.
Mother, I've got something to
tell you. This time we take you to Washington for a special broadcast on the national emergency.
I'm going to be married.
The Secretary of the Interior.
Who to? Anyone we know? No. Dwight
citizens of the nation.
And who made Dwight Hughes?
I shall not try to conceal the gravity of the situation that confronts
an American?
Country.
And how long have you
nor
known?
Nor the concern of your government protecting the lives and
I can't even imagine the reply to that.
Oh, well, that's easy. But, Mother, I'm in love with it.
Oh, but this is absurd of us. I don't know you. I don't know the first thing about you.
All of you.
We can't be in love with each other.
Well, don't worry too much about it, shall we? We seem to like each other anyway.
Fortunately,
besides,
this formidable enemy.
Julius?
Well, she and Romeo gave him 5 speeches.
I always said that was an improbable play.
If I profane with my unworthy hand.
In the military forces to keep them.
What's
there.
The rest of it?
I don't know.
In the meantime.
We've got it in the bookcase somewhere.
Placing our faith in God.
No, here, it is.
We must continue the performance of our duties each and every one of us.
If I profane with my unworthy hand this holy shrine, the gentle shrine is this.
With a nation united.
My lips.
Courageous.
Two blushing
and
children.
Consecrated to the preservation of human supremacy on this earth.
With a kind I thank kiss.
You have just heard the Secretary of the Interior speaking from Washington. Bulletins too numerous to read are piling up in the studio.
Good pilgrims.
We're informed
you do
that
wrong
the
your
of New
hands
Jersey
too much.
Is blacked out from its regular communication due to the effect of the heat ray upon power lines
saints
and electrical equipment.
Hands, the pilgrims
Here's
hands
a special bulletin in New York. Cables have been received from English, French, and German scientific bodies offering assistance.
Well, there you are.
Astronomers report continued
gas
outbreaks.
Well, we hardly Romeo and Juliet, are we?
The planet Mars.
Till it's nice to
the majority voiced the opinion that the enemy will be reinforced by additional rockets.
Well, we have. I never believed it until now.
There have been several attempts
now.
Made to locate the Pearson at Princeton.
Why?
It was observed Martians at close range.
Will you give me one concession to the serious part
of... recent battle.
What's that?
Langham Field, Virginia. Scouting planes
will
put three Martian machines visible above treetops, moving north toward Somerville with population fleeing ahead of them.
You get the promise.
The heat ray is not in use, although advancing at express train speed.
Good night.
The invaders pick their way carefully. They seem to be making a conscious effort to avoid destruction of cities and countryside.
The spot of love by...
However, they stop to open power lines, bridges, and railroad tracks.
Why?
Their apparent objective is...
I don't want to take it like that.
Paralyzed communication and disorganized...
Like a song?
...human society.
I'm alone.
Here's a bulletin from Boston, Richmond,
I love you.
Embedded in the great swamp 20 miles south of Morristown.
Good night, Steve.
Army field people are proceeding from Newark to blow up the second invading unit before the cylinder can be opened. In the fighting machine rig. They're taking up a position in the foothills of Watchung Mountain.
Another bulletin from Langham Field, Virginia.
Scouting planes report enemy machines now three in number. Increasing speed northward, kicking over houses and trees in their evident haste to form a conjunction with their allies south of
Washington.
By telephone operator east of Middlesex within 10 miles.
Love you with all my heart.
This is a bulletin from Winston-Steele, Long Island. A fleet of army bombers carrying heavy explosives flying north in pursuit of enemies. Scouting planes act as guides.
Oh, Dwight.
They keep the speeding enemy in sight.
I don't know what to do. I love you so.
Just a moment, please, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm alone because...
We've run special wires. We are still around the school community. We're going to be left with us. We're going to be left with us. First, we're going to be starting the 26th of October. Located in
the Western Mountains. 32 meters.
32 meters.
Projection 39 degrees.
39 degrees.
Fire!
This is Don Amici, and the Jason Sanborn Hour continues. Hidden in the scores of many almost forgotten operas are a great many beautiful arias.
31 meters.
One of these operas is Massenet's Leroy Delore, from which Nelson sings. The best of all of it is. How did I do, Nelson?
Well, you were warm.
Well, since you're going to sing it, I think you better say it.
The other trying to repair it.
From the Massenet's Le Roi de Laure, the aria from Mess de Mounavenir. Lovely. Thank you, and Nelson Eddy sings it.
you've got a high tension power station. The machines are close together now, and we're ready to attack. Planes circling, ready to strike.
Well, I don't blame him. If anybody insulted you with me around, I'd bash him one myself.
Estimated in the last 2 hours,
well, I certainly would.
People have moved out along the road.
Never mind that. Zeke, what did the fellow say about you? You got your dander up.
Ain't nobody calling my sister
Long Island hopelessly jammed.
Somebody calls you a hog, Judy? All he did.
All communication
with
Jersey Shore closed.
As soon as I sat down, that fella turned to me and said, "Who you rooting for?"
No more defenses. Our army is wiped out. Artillery.
Well, who were you rooting for? Which team were you for?
Everything wiped out.
Well, I wasn't for nobody, and I wasn't again nobody.
Last broadcast.
See, I just wanted to see them bust each other around.
We stay here to the end.
Oh, the weaker sex, huh? Were you sitting near enough
people
to see them
holding
busted?
Service here below us?
Well, I tell you, Annie was satisfied, but Zeke kept on complaining that
the
players
were
getting smaller and smaller all the time.
All
it's
going
to be hard to see them.
Well, maybe he was sitting up too high. Didn't you bring glasses along, Zeke?
Pulling out
no, God just drunk it out of the jug.
Well, I still say it was too high.
Wait a minute.
Did you like the game, Zeke?
What a
the enemy's now in sight above the palisade. Five.
Oh, why don't you get
five,
with it, Annie?
16.
You didn't even pay no attention to the game after some fella
first
said this how you was a beauty.
Crossing the river,
Annie
I
found an admirer. Oh,
waiting.
I knew there must be. She must
waiting
be somebody's type.
Like a man
I
waiting
did.
For
well,
brother.
I'm a-telling you, Mr. Meachie, that fella what was selling them sandwiches walked
Martin
right by all them movie stars without giving them a
thought.
But when he come by us, he looked straight at Annie and he yelled, "Hot dog!" He spoke to me, too.
Now the first machine
oh, that's wonderful, Annie. What did he say?
How many?
Stand
watching
you. That's enough, Fanny. Sit there quiet and count your buttons.
He'll call his head as even with
I saw you at the game, Judy. I waved to you, but I couldn't get your eye.
Lordy, Miss Lamour. I was too busy watching that
rise like a line of new towers on the city's west side.
Them galloping jitters.
Now they're lifting their metal hands.
Oh, my Judy, that was a cheerleader.
This is the end
now. Well, I guess I should have known that.
Smoke comes
Zeke
out.
Zeke acts the same way when he's full of cheer.
Shifting over the city.
No.
That
leader sure made them little bunch of fellas
they're
yell so you
east
could hear
them
all over
them.
The field.
Oh, well,
dropping in like rats.
Nowadays, they're very good acoustics.
They sure?
Now the smoke
Mr.
spreading
Mr. Amici, you say the craziest word.
Where?
Hey, Zeke, come here, son. What in the world's
acoustics? No
acoustics is what you shoot
like
food with.
There you are, Mr. Amici. That
Fifth
boy's going to be a great wit someday.
Why not? He's halfway there already.
You said that right. Well, anyhow, he's happy.
You could almost certainly hedge your troubles. You were insulted, Zeke had eye trouble, and Annie found romance with mustard and relish. Did you by any chance see a football game?
You can't prove it by me. They sure do a lot of nothing before anybody footballs. Well, first thing that catch my eyes was them boys on the field all a-getting in a circle with the heads together and the arms around each other. Real romantic life.
Oh, why, Judy, that's the huddle. I can see you've got a lot to learn about football.
You reckon you could teach me to huddle?
What I mean is you should go with somebody who knows what it's all about.
Oh, you think I oughta, huh?
Well, sure.
Well, I ain't busy tomorrow night.
Yeah, but there isn't any football game tomorrow night.
I know it. I ain't no fool.
Oh, now look, Judy, couldn't we sort of... Hey, Zeke, put down that gun.
Ain't loaded.
Ain't loaded, huh? Judy, will you do me a favor? Get somebody else to teach you the game of football. It's so dangerous, and I'm so young.
Original dramatization of the War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
Zeke was only fooling.
Well, that's kind of carrying a joke too close.
This
well,
is the Columbia
fact,
Broadcasting
if I want to learn about football, I can learn all about it from my own family.
Well, that's fine. I didn't know they played football down in Unadilla.
Played football? Why, Mr. Amici, you know them school kids down home never heard arithmetic. They call it signal practice.
Did Zeke ever play football, Judy?
Did it play football?
The War of the Worlds by H.G.
Wells. He was probably all American.
Starring Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the
air.
All
Unadilla.
All Unadilla. Now, what do you think of that?
I was a triple threat man.
Triple threat, huh?
Yeah, kick, bite, and choke.
Boy, if Zeke is that tough, I'm surprised some college didn't buy him a pair of shoes and put him on their football team.
So, he's better with them all. That's how he got the offer to play for USC.
Zeke really got an offer to play
as
at
I
USC?
Checked down these
he
notes
sure
on paper.
Did. Unadilla
I'm
School of Carpotis.
I'm obsessed by the thought that I may be the last living man on earth.
Oh, Chiropody.
Yes, sir,
Carpotis. Hiding in this empty house
and
near
Grover's
Mill.
And he plays firm in his spare time under
a
different
name. Small island of daylight cut off by the black smoke.
No, sir, Kelly was the name he used.
We had all a swell album the arrival of song these too. Monstrous creatures
yeah,
in the world.
What was the name of it?
Part of another life. Shucks, I forget.
Do you know, Judy?
Life that has no,
no
continuity.
Sir, I don't remember
present.
It neither.
Well, let's see now. Unadilla School of Chiropody. What kind of
yes,
song would they have?
Pencils, these
oh,
words
I bet it was
flat foot
Fuji, huh?
Astronomical no, notes. Nope, that ain't it.
Well, maybe it was Fall in Love. Fall in Love says my arch.
No. Zeke, was it my sweet little callous
blue
gown?
My blackened hands, man.
The last hose of summer?
Try to connect them
well,
with
it could
the
have been the folks
lives
who live
Princeton
on the hill.
On the night of October 20th,
none of them.
Glimpsed
well, how about
a telescope an orange splash of
or
light
it's the shin to tell a lie.
Stand back, y'all.
My wife?
Stand back. I got it.
My
what?
Colleagues, my students.
Ankles away.
That's it.
Judy, I'm certainly glad that you settled the title of the theme song of the Unadilla School of Chiropody so that
world.
We can all listen to you, Annie and Zeke,
where
sing Hounds on My Track.
Did they ever exist? Am I Richard Pearson?
Hounds on my
hey.
Track. Chickens on my back.
Few days
gonna
exist
make it
without
to
calendar.
My Jenny if I can.
If time
if
passed,
I can.
No human hand
if I can.
gonna make it to my shanty if I can.
Writing down my daily life, well, I tell myself I shall preserve human history between the dark covers.
Gonna make it to my shanty if I can. If I can. If I can.
Right,
if I can. Gonna make it to my shanty if I can.
Watching the river. Time to time, I catch sight of marching above the black smoke. Smoke still holds the house in its black coil.
Molly never looks at me.
Too bad.
Gonna make it to my daddy if I can. If I can.
Spraying the elder jet of steam as it dissipates smoke.
Gonna make it to my daddy if I can.
Metal legs and they brush against the house.
Miss Lamore's a sweet first duty.
Gonna
make it to my shanty if I can. If I can. If I can. Gonna make it to my shanty if I can.
Black cloud gas is lifted and scorched.
To make my car see a brand new neat.
Gonna make it to my shanty if I can. If I can. If I can. If I can. If I can.
In their wrecked car, baggage.
Gonna make it to my shanty if I can.
For some reason, I feel safer trailing you. And I keep a careful watch.
Well, Charlie, here's the happy reunion. Since you last talked to your friend Madeline Carroll, she's been over to Paris and back
ready
again.
To fling myself flat on the earth.
Oui, Madeline, did you enjoy your trip, Marshall?
From the chestnut tree.
Oui, 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 Charlot. C'était très, très magnifique. Oh, très good. Did you miss me? I thought of you all the time, Charlie. And just to prove it, I brought you a present from Paris.
Two days I wandered in a vague northerly direction to a Christmas world.
A present for me? Yes.
Finally, I noticed a living creature.
You shouldn't have. What is it?
A small red squirrel in a piece of paper.
Well, now let me see.
There it is.
It isn't the Eiffel Tower. No.
There's that.
A scooter, perhaps?
I believe it's
no, Charlie, it's better than that.
Oh, it's a letter.
A letter. Oh,
joy of finding another living being.
Charlie, this is a very unusual letter.
Find dead cows in a brackish field beyond the charred ruins of a dairy and silo.
No, it was written by a little French admirer of yours. Oh, who is she? It isn't a she, it's a boy.
Try the silo, purchase a weather clock.
Disappointment number two. This is getting worse all the time.
His name is Toutou Gaston Petitjean.
That does it. That does it.
Next day I come to
Toutou,
city.
Toutou much for me.
City.
Who is he?
Vaguely familiar.
Well, he's a little assistant.
Sits
on the knee of the great French ventriloquist, the great pianist.
A giant that flies off its highest towers with a capricious
And just like you, he's a little mannequin.
No.
Reach the outskirts. I found
today I am a mannequin.
Undemolished,
you should see this boy, Charlie. He's the
whim
idol of the
advancing Martians.
The ladies all adore him.
That's all.
Presently, with an odd feeling of being watched, I caught sight of something crouching in a doorway. I made a step towards
him. Oh, is this little French toaster? I mean, this.
Rolled up and
picked
Well, I'd say he's about your age,
man,
Charlie.
Armed with a large knife.
And he's very eager to learn the American language. So he wrote to you in English, and he's hoping that you'll answer him. Would you like to hear what he wrote, Charlie?
From many places.
Well, no.
A long time ago from Princeton.
Oh, but it's a very charming letter.
Oh, then read it.
Let me read it. Now, he starts off by saying, yes. Dear, dear Charlot, my pretty shoe.
Pretty shoe?
There's no food here. This is my country.
No,
all this end of town down the river.
Pretty
There's only
shoe
food for
is
one.
French for cabbage head.
Oh, well, that's where you're going. Cabbage head. That's worse yet. Why, the fresh punk. What?
I guess I'm looking.
In French, cabbage head is a term of endearment.
What was that?
Cabbage head is? Well, it doesn't translate very well. I'll say that, Mark.
And then he writes, every week I listen to hear you on the air over the TSF.
The TSF. That little fool, he means NBC, doesn't he?
No, Charlie, dear. You see, they don't call it radio over there. They call it TSF, which stands for Telephone Sans Fil. Telephone Without Wires.
Sure, I'll bet you. Telephone Without Wires.
Like the sky.
I don't think it'll ever be practical.
Well, be that as it may. Let me read you the rest of Tutu's letter.
Oh, Tutu.
Yes.
I try to obtain your program every Monday morning.
but I am not very successful.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. That is too bad. I wonder if you ever tried tuning in on Sunday night. The dope.
That's all over with humanity.
That's the part that burns me up.
Charlie, don't you realize that the clocks are 5 hours faster in Paris than here?
They are? Mm-hmm. Well, can't they slow them down?
Now, why hasn't someone thought of that?
Well, I just did.
Somewhere every night.
Somebody ought to make notes of these things. But to go on with it.
We're done.
Tutu says...
Tutu, here we go again.
Where were you? Where were you?
Oh, I know. I like him.
I am glad you are very popular in America, yes? And maybe sometime you will come to see I in Paris, no?
Yes, no.
I found that out.
He sure does murder the English. Is he illiterate? I guess he must be. Yes, no?
They got a crowd on the run.
And Charlie, he signed it.
They will keep on doing that. They'll begin catching us systematically. Keeping the best and storing us in cages and things.
Tutu, Gaston.
They haven't begun on us yet. Not
big gun. He must get awful tired lugging that handle around.
We don't have sense enough to keep quiet.
That's the one that's
bothering them with guns and such stuff and losing our heads and rushing around.
Take a letter.
Yes, sir?
Yes. Monsieur Pettijean.
Rushing around blind, we got to fix ourselves up. Fix ourselves up according to the way things are now.
Dear Gopher Puss.
Cities, nations, civilization, conflict.
Yes, Gopher Puss. In America, that's the term of endearment.
Right.
Well, I never heard of that, Charlie.
Well, I never heard of cabbage head. Gopher Puss.
We're not going to be exterminated.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Don't let it happen too often.
Tame.
And to continue, quote. Have you got that?
Yes.
I never hear your program in America with or without wires.
Right in the
phony. But I will forgive you for that cabbage head crack if when I get to Paris, you will sashay la femme for me.
We've got to learn plenty before.
And I will do the same for you in America.
We've got to keep free while we learn.
You're American. Ah, me? Charlie? Augie. I'll mail that as it is.
Very good, sir. And I'm sure Tutu will be most pleased when he receives this letter.
I thought it was rather well put,
Mr. What?
What kind of a boss does Tutu have?
Oh, he's very handsome, debonair, and he has a moustache.
Oh, he has. Yes. Maybe Bergen could raise a mustache. Well, I don't know. It might be too much of a strain on his system.
Do you think he'd look better with a mustache, Charles?
Well, it would help, yes. You couldn't see his lips move while I was talking.
Charlie, you shouldn't say that. You know, little Tutu always speaks well of himself.
No worries.
Well, maybe he gets paid more than I do.
Well, he told me that his salary is 1,500 centimes a week.
Yeah, well, that's 1,500 centimes. Wow.
That isn't all.
I could kick myself for what I'm working for.
Catch it.
I could kick Bergen, too.
Who knows? Get some sentimental over the pet boy who grew up and had to be killed.
Is he sucking it away?
Yeah.
Or has he got a big family?
I don't know about that, but I do know that that's his salary.
Yes, they will. There's men who do it gladly.
I want Bergen's. Hey, Bergen, did you hear that?
What's that, Charlie?
Miss Carroll was just telling me about a ventriloquist over in Paris who pays his boy $1,500 a week. Now,
you and I.
Yeah. I mean, it's enough to make it fall.
The main ones are big enough
to jump on it. And it's $1,500
a week.
Oh, $1,500 a week?
Yeah.
Why, I can't believe that.
Well, Miss Carroll just said to Miss Carroll, just tell me about this
rubbish.
Go on, tell him about it.
$1,500.
Oh, 1,500 centimes.
Yeah, centimes.
Yeah, well, centimes, that's French for a...
Yeah, well, it's still a buck.
Oh, no, it isn't. Oh, no.
No,
it's still a buck.
It's 100 centimes to make a franc.
They'll even spy on the
Why, that's less... Why, it's much less than a cent.
Just imagine this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Less than a cent?
Why, of course it is.
Is there anything less than a penny?
Right, of course there is.
Not a Martian.
How come you haven't paid me off?
Not a Martian in them, see? Come
imagine having one of them lovely things with its cute little wires.
John McCarthy's radio game is the new sensation from coast to coast. Here's the latest news about
bring
it.
Bring everybody down.
Everybody's playing Charlie's new radio
That's
game.
Your plan.
Yes, sirree. Small fry, big fry, from 6 to 60.
Ooh. That's right, Charlie. It's packed with suspense and thrills.
It's a fascinating adventure, yes.
You get 21 figures of the stars on this program, and they're all in beautiful, natural color.
Yeah, Bergen's in usual pale pink.
Charlie, please. There are four figures each of Edgar Bergen, Nelson Eddy, Don Amici, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster.
So far, mildly interesting.
Oh, but there's just one figure of Charlie McCarthy.
Sensational.
And you must have Charlie to win.
Well, naturally, how else,
anxious to know the fate of the great city on the other side.
Now, get Charlie's absorbing new game. Just mail us two dated bank fronts from Jason Sanborn dated coffee and only 10 cents. And if you like coffee with plenty of rich, bracing flavor, you'll enjoy dated coffee. For this is more than a fine blend of the world's choice coffees. It's coffee you know is fresh. The date on the bag front tells you when your grocer received it, fresh from the nearest roasting oven.
Times Square.
Try a delicious Chasen Sanborn dated coffee. Mail us the two dated bag fronts with only 10 cents, and we'll promptly send you Charlie's new radio game.
Yes, sir, the game's on me.
Address, Chasen Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue, at 420 Lexington Avenue.
420, yes.
Oh. Meaning not.
Meaning not, yes. Not really. Not
silent.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, really. 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City. Guns, by Jason Sanborn, dated coffee, tomorrow.
Near Columbus, sir.
October soon fades into November, and Nelson Eddy bids a farewell with a drinking song from Robin Hood, Brown October Ale.
Here we go. Suddenly, I caught sight of the foot of a marshal machine. Then someone said, with a gleam in the late afternoon sun,
and it's where you walk with me.
I rushed recklessly across Columbus City and into the barnyard. I climbed a small hill above the pond at 15th Street. From there, I could see standing in the silent row along the moor 19 of those great metal, piping red cowl shanks with a few arms hanging listlessly by their sides.
Oh,
I looked in vain for the monster's habitable.
Suddenly I heard a call. Soldats will make you stop and hail.
Through the marshes of hungry birds pecking and tearing brown shreds
of
earth. Later, when their bodies were examined, the ravagers found that they were killed by the putrefactive and diseased bacteria against which their systems were unprepared. Before the stones of hell, there was a general persuasion that no life existed beyond the petty surface of our minute sphere. Now we see further.
And it's dim, wonderful
vision I've conjured up in my mind of life spreading
and it's
slowly
from
the
deep bed
of the
solar
system above the inanimate vastness
if
of the ideal
I'll drink one flag and more. And so farewell.
Maybe the destruction of the Martians is only a reprieve. To them, a nothing.
Or a mouth, or a nan, or a doll should make your heart.
Faint now, soon,
more.
In my peaceful study.
Fill up the page.
Writing down
the
last chapter.
And toast on barley corn.
Strange to see from my window the
earth. And waflats will make you stop and hail.
Strange
through all my days I'll sing the praise of brown October ale. Yes, waflats
and
waflats will make you stop and hail.
Sight to you. And the museum where the dissembled parts of the Martian
Oh, from
Here we are once more, the end of another Jason Sanborn hour. An hour made possible by your purchase of Jason Sanborn coffee. That's the best way to tell us you enjoy our show. We'll all be back next Sunday. Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy Lamour, Judy Canova with Annie and Zeke, Robert Armbruster with the Jason Sanborn Orchestra, and our special guest, the star of You Can't Take It With You, Gene Arthur. Until then, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying au revoir.
Be with us again next Sunday for another big Jason Sanborn hour. Gene Archer, Don Amici, Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Joyce Lamour, Judy Canova, with Annie and Zeke, and Robert Armbruster and the Jason Sanborn Orchestra. Heard on this program were Two Sleepy People from Thanks for the Memory and The Big Show by Jerome Kern. This is Wendell Niles speaking for the makers of Jason Sanborn coffee. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Tonight, the Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations coast to coast has brought you The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells, the 17th in its weekly series of dramatic broadcasts featuring Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air. Next week, we present a dramatization of three famous short stories. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.